Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I did want to remind you as we get started that one way you can support the show is when you're making your summer travel plans, remember to go to johnnydollarair.com. And johnnydollarair.com is a Priceline affiliate. And if you do find the best deal on your travel there and purchase through there, a portion of that goes to support the show. So enjoy the flexibility of Priceline, able to choose from great published specials, or name your own price and support the program. Well, now we're going to head on out to the Chesapeake Bay for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. It's time for the Chesapeake Fraud Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi. Pat Kelleher, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Good to hear your voice, Patsy. Thought you were transferred to Baltimore.
That's where I am. Say, John, can you handle one for me?
What kind of one?
It's a life and accident policy. Eastern Fidelity paid off 5 years ago. A man named John Reardon was the insured party. He died in 1950. Wife was a beneficiary. It's a crazy one.
Well, go on.
Eastern wants us to look into the matter QT. One of their officers has reason to believe Reardon is still alive.
Why would he think that?
Because he saw him 2 days ago.
I'll get the first plane.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Baltimore, Maryland. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Chesapeake fraud matter. Expense account, item 1, $22.75, plane fare and incidentals, Hartford to Baltimore. I arrived at 3:15 in the afternoon at Friendship International Airport. It was a cold, gray day. I took a cab directly to Pat Kelleher's office.
Good to see you, John.
He was 10 pounds heavier. Outside of that, he looked swell.
We'll have to have dinner once a week, my wife. Where are your bags? You didn't go to a hotel.
I checked my stuff at the airport, Patsy. I didn't know how long I'd be here. Over the Alleghenies on the plane, I got to thinking about the number of alive but dead reports I've investigated at one time or another. They happen all the time, or they never pan out.
Yeah, well, this one isn't like that, John. Sit down.
Thanks.
You know, when a man like Paul Coombs, chairman of the board for Eastern Fidelity, not to mention vice president of two oil companies and one construction company, when he romps in here and says somebody's still alive, it's supposed to be dead... We got to listen to him.
Sure you do, Pat. It's your job.
Your job now. Coombs claims he not only saw Reardon, but talked to him. I'll go into that later. Policy was issued in 1944.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's a beneficiary.
Yeah. Elizabeth Jane Reardon, $10,000.
$20,000, John. Double indemnity on the accident clause.
Oh. Well, look, I'll look at this stuff later. Maybe you better tell me about that first.
Okay. John Reardon was lost in a boat accident out on Chesapeake Bay.
When?
August 13th, 1950. There were four people in the party. They went out for the afternoon on a power cruiser, and the thing exploded in the middle of the bay.
Yeah, I may have read about it. Was there a man named Sharpston involved?
Yeah. Sharpston owned the boat. He and his wife were aboard, and another man named Blaine.
Did all of them go down?
That's right. They recovered Mr. and Mrs. Sharpston's body and Blaine's. They never found John Reardon.
What caused the explosion?
No explainable reason. It was never determined.
Oh, there's always a reason.
Yeah, well, that probably blew up with the boat, too. As it happened, we conducted the investigation for Atlantic States Limited. They held the insurance on the Sharpstons and the boat. These are our findings in the matter. We found no reason for Atlantic not to honor the claim made by Sharpstone's estate.
Mm-hmm. How about the other man who was killed, Blaine?
His case was adjusted by another company.
So that leaves us John Reardon.
Yeah. About a month after the accident, his wife filed claim for payment. Our investigation was ended by then. We notified the insurance commission of the circumstances of his death and requested a judgment.
Routine. Did it go through all right?
Yeah. The appellate court declared John Reardon legally dead after the required 3-year waiting period. Pretty standard when there's no body.
Sure.
Eastern honored the claim and paid Mrs. Reardon $20,000. So, that's about it.
Except that now somebody thinks he's alive.
Not just somebody. Paul Coombs.
Yeah, yeah. And if that's so, Eastern's been swindled for $20,000. Tell me about the beneficiary.
Ms. Reardon?
Mm-hmm.
Nice woman. Met her a couple of times. She didn't need money, I can tell you that much.
Oh?
Yeah, worth over $200,000. Never married again.
You say she didn't file her claim until a month after the accident.
That's right.
She ever give any reason for waiting that long?
Well, she was pretty broken up about it. The money wasn't important particularly. Maybe she just forgot.
Pat, I've got a question.
What's that, John?
How can you forget $20,000? Expense account item 2, $10, for drinks I had with Pat Kelleher while we talked some more about the Reardon case. At 7 o'clock that night, I had on a fresh shirt and a press suit. They seemed to impress Paul Coombs, vice president, chairman of boards, etc.
Dollar?
That's right, Mr. Coombs, Universal Adjustment.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Come in, come in. I talked with Mr. Kelleher there. He sent you?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, I recall your name now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we can sit here, Mr. Dollar. Now, you hear about John Reardon, of course.
That's right.
I'm glad they sent a man like you. I'm glad you're the one who's going to look into it.
You puzzle me, Mr. Coombs.
No, I don't. And that's a compliment to your perceptive abilities, young man. As a matter of fact, you're here because you're only curious about me. You want to have a look at the man who thinks he saw John Reardon alive, right?
I suppose so.
You don't believe he is alive?
I didn't say that.
I admire your caution. I'm glad you're the one who's going to look into it because... Well, John Reardon was a close friend of mine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I knew him for a number of years, and Mrs. Reardon. He was a fine, sensitive man. I'm sure you'll know how to handle him when you meet him.
You sound very certain that I will meet him, Mr. Coombs.
There's no doubt in my mind about that. 3 nights ago at the Brown Palace Hotel in Denver, Colorado, I saw John Reardon. I walked up and spoke to him. I talked with him for 15 or 20 minutes. I know it was him.
He didn't admit it.
He denied it completely. He told me his name was Frank Bauer and that he had lived in Denver ever since the war.
Frank Bauer?
Yes. I was so certain it was John Reardon, I insisted. He laughed at me. Seemed good-natured about it. Even bought me a drink.
I see.
I asked him where he had lived before Denver. He said something about Toledo. Uh-huh. I asked him if he'd gone to college there. He told me he'd gone to Ohio State. He told me he was an engineer, a mining engineer. Everything he told me seemed plausible and reasonable... Except that all the time I knew he was lying. I knew his name wasn't Frank Bowers. That was John Reardon.
How did you leave it with him?
Well, the whole thing unnerved me somewhat. I'm afraid I looked like rather a fool. I simply caught my limousine out of the airport and came back here to Baltimore.
Did you get his address in Denver?
No.
Any of his business connections, anything like that?
No.
Was he alone when you met him?
There was no one with him. At the bar, he even ordered his drink the way John always ordered it. You know, like this.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people make that signal for 2 fingers of bourbon.
Wore clothes the same way, too.
Have you spoken of this matter to anyone outside of Pat Kelleher?
No. No, I thought it should be looked into before I called up Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Elizabeth Reardon, John's widow.
Oh, yes,
It'll do no good bothering her just now.
I'm afraid she'll have to be bothered.
Why? Can't you investigate the information I've given you without upsetting everyone?
With this kind of information, somebody's bound to get upset. Look, don't put restrictions on me, Mr. Coombs, or we won't get anywhere. You say John Reardon was a close friend of yours.
Yes.
I presume his wife was, too.
That's right. A lovely, lovely person.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind when I talk to her.
Maybe you aren't the man for this.
You can get somebody else, Mr. Coombs.
No, no, no. It's just that I suddenly had a strange feeling about it all. Depressing.
If John Reardon is alive, and you seem to be certain of it, then I understand your feeling.
How's that?
Your friend's party to a $20,000 fraud, not to mention his wife. Possibly he's not as sensitive and she's not as lovely as you thought. I spent the rest of the evening with Pat Kelleher and his wife, hoping to see the bright lights and listen to some laughter. We picked a couple of fancy bistros and started the rounds to watch champagne flow and eavesdrop on the happy stories of success, promotion, and love. But it didn't work.
Like the place, John?
It's swell.
You're as low as a cricket's ankle.
Well, today a man kept telling me a friend of his was alive who's supposed to be dead. He told me what a fine fella this friend is, or was.
Yeah.
99 times out of 100, I tell him to go jump in the lake, but Paul Coombs comes under the title Reliable Witness in anybody's book. Give me a match.
Here. How you fix for plans?
Start somebody looking into Frank, whatever his name is, in Denver, who's supposed to be Reardon. I'll start with the beneficiary, but...
Miss Reardon?
Yeah. I'll march out and say, let me look at some pictures of your husband. What kind of a guy was he? Did you enjoy each other or try to kill each other? Did you ever, Why didn't Coombs look into it himself? Why didn't he go out to the widow and tell her about his meeting the guy in Denver?
Because he came to us, John.
Yeah, I know, Patsy. I'm sorry. But the prospect of going to somebody, anybody, with a flimsy story like that makes me sore. It might get her hopes up that her husband's alive. And that's a lousy thing to do. Reliable or not, Coombs is probably all wet.
Probably.
Sour racket.
Sour racket.
You being a parrot?
Just being agreeable, John. If you want to be sad, I'll be sad with you. We both know situations like this are part of the trade.
Oh, I should have been a... Oh, let's have another belt.
Sure. Waiter. Well, John,
Maybe
another way to handle Mrs. Reardon with that. That's her over there at the bar. Nice, isn't she?
Hey, she is lovely.
Nothing.
She looks a little tight.
Yeah, well, I hear she gets that way quite a bit these days. Say, John, you want me to introduce you like a friend? It might make it easier.
No, I'll handle it myself. Who's with her?
Beats me.
He's looking for a phone booth. Pat.
Yeah?
I may be able to find out what I want and not let her know what it's about.
You mean right now?
I mean right now. Hello. You're Elizabeth Reardon, aren't you?
Why, yes.
Oh, probably you don't remember me. My name's Johnny Dollar. We met some time ago.
I'm afraid I don't remember, Mr. Dollar.
I'm in the insurance business. Don't remember?
Well, where was it we met?
No, I can't remember. May I sit down?
Well, I'm expecting someone. He'll be back in a minute. Yes.
Would you care for a drink?
I have this one, thank you.
Oh. How's John these days?
John?
Your husband, Mrs. Reardon. His name is John, isn't it?
My husband's been dead nearly 5 years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, it must be... Well, this is very awkward.
That's all right.
5 years. I could have sworn it was just 3 years ago I met you and John. In Denver.
It couldn't have been. We were never there.
Oh, well, pardon me. I sit here making bad conversation with you, and it's very apparent you're distressed. Look, I'm very sorry I upset you. Is there anything I could do?
No. No, Mr. Dolly, you didn't upset me. You look like a very nice person. How long are you going to be in Baltimore?
A few more days.
Perhaps you'll come out to the house for a drink before you go back. Say tomorrow.
Oh, I'd like that, Mrs. Reardon.
You can call me. I'm in the book.
Mrs. John Reardon?
Yes.
I will. Again, I'm sorry that I brought...
Do me a favor, Mr. Dollar. When you come to my house for a drink, call me Elizabeth. And please, don't mention my husband's name. I'd appreciate it very much if I never heard it again.
Johnny Dollar.
Pat Kelleher, Universal. How'd you make out with Miss Reardon?
I met her. She thinks I'm an insurance broker or something. I told her I knew her husband when he was alive.
Industrial hazard lying. Part of the business, John. Did you find out anything that'll help you?
I found out she's pretty upset about everything in the world.
That's the only report you have for Universal Adjustment Bureau?
Oh, she invited me for cocktails. I'm going to call her later this afternoon and keep the date. Maybe I'll get some information then.
Cocktails, see? You made out okay.
Oh, shut up. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Baltimore, Maryland. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Chesapeake fraud matter. Expense account item 3, $23.60, long-distance telephone call to George Hanley in Denver, Colorado. George is an old friend of mine in the private detective business. I told him about the report that John Reardon was still alive and living in Denver under the name of Frank Bowers. I requested him to gather information that would help in determining whether Bowers was really John Reardon or not. I spent the remainder of the day reading over the facts of the case as supplied to me by Pat Kelleher of Universal Adjustment. Expense account item 4, 10 cents, another phone call. This one to John Reardon's widow.
Hello?
Mrs. Reardon?
Yes.
This is Johnny Dollar.
Oh, yes, Mr. Dollar. You're the man who used to know John?
Yes.
I asked you over for a drink. I hope you're coming.
What time?
7 would be fine.
I was at her home at 7 o'clock, knocking on the door. It was a nice home, and she seemed like a nice person. Even nicer than the night before.
I asked you to call me Elizabeth, Mr. Dollar.
I remember. Yes, you also asked me not to mention your husband's name.
I wish you'd forget that. I was upset last night when we met. Forgive me. How's your drink?
Not swell.
I don't know why, but I feel I should explain myself a little more about saying what I did about John. I was very shocked at his death. I suppose I still am, even though it was 5 years ago. It always disturbs me when I'm reminded of it. Yet it's good to be reminded, I suppose. To know that he really is dead. That he won't come through that door anymore. That he won't telephone me from the office or make any plans with me. Does that make sense?
I suppose so.
Ah, oh, we can drink another one. Sometimes things make more sense with a few drinks.
Sometimes they don't make any sense at all, Elizabeth.
That's right, too, Johnny. You know, I like you.
I like you.
Tell me about your business. You said insurance?
Yes.
You're a broker?
Well, not exactly.
A salesman?
No. I'm an investigator.
That must be terribly interesting work. I suppose you travel everywhere. Have you ever been to...
She had a nice mouth. Soft, frank, wide-open eyes. A couple of times I was on the verge of telling her exactly what I was working on and why I was talking to her. But I didn't. Somehow I felt comfortable in the house. Over the drinks and music, we eventually got around to John Reardon. She told me of their 4 years' marriage that ended with his sudden death.
Gave me everything I could possibly want to have. Why do I tell you all this? I never talked to anybody about it.
Well, I don't know. Possibly because you just want to talk to somebody about it.
You're easy to talk to, Johnny. I was 19 when I was married. I'd never known another man. It was wonderful at first. Wonderful all the time, I suppose. I just wasn't grown up enough to realize it.
Can I ask you a question?
Surely.
Did you really love him?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Why?
Oh, just a feeling.
Well, I did. I'm not so sure he loved me. That's an awful thing to say.
No, I don't think so. It's probably been on your mind a long time. You don't know me from a load of coal, but we've sat here and talked an hour. I think I know you.
I think so, too.
You still seem very despondent about his death. Yet you aren't sure he loved you.
I loved him.
Oh.
Here I am explaining things again, I suppose because they sound so foolish. Once we both loved each other. Very much. But we kicked it away. We just didn't get along. He was out spending his money on other people, and I was taking up this pastime. Can you tell when I've had too much?
No.
Thank you. Thank you awfully. Oh, Hugh!
Elizabeth.
Johnny, this is Hugh Bryan. This is Mr. Dollar, Hugh.
Hello, Mr. Dollar. How's your drink, Liz?
Fine.
Now tell me again, who is this?
This is Mr. Dollar.
What's your business, Mr. Dollar? I haven't seen you around before. Obviously, you just met Miss Reardon, or you'd never, never start drinking with her.
I wouldn't.
No. That's true, Liz, isn't it?
He was a friend of John's, Hugh.
Well, that's nice. I don't think I ever heard him mention your name. I was a friend of his, too. As a matter of fact, his attorney.
Hugh, you don't have to do this in front of
me. And since John is no longer here, I've undertaken to look after some of the problems he left behind him, as an old friend would. Elizabeth, say goodnight to Mr. Dollar.
Now, look here, Hugh.
Say goodnight to him. He's just leaving.
Maybe it's better right now, Johnny. Good night.
Do you want me to leave?
She just said it would be better.
I'll call you at your hotel. Good night.
Good night, Mr.
No, no, you still have something in your glass. Finish your drink.
Okay.
An old friend of John's. That's good. Very good.
It is?
She picked you up in a bar last night. I saw her. I was with her. You never knew John Reardon in your life. You have no business being here, and I don't like cheap opportunists invading her home.
Evidently, you can talk to her any way you want to, and she'll take it. Why, I don't know. But don't talk to me that way. I don't have to take anything.
You were just leaving, weren't you?
Hugh Bryan was a large, bristling sort of man with a smooth manner. I didn't like him, and he didn't like me. Expense account item 5, $18. Even cab fares, lunches, etc. in and about Chesapeake Bay, talking to the principals connected with the boat explosion death of John Reardon. One of these was Lieutenant Jack Halverson, United States Coast Guard.
You want some coffee?
If I have to go out in that wind to get it, no.
Make it right here for just such occasions. Just a sec, I'll plug her in. There.
Brother, someday.
It's nice in the summertime. Now, what can I do for you?
Tell me about the boat going down. You made out the report for the Coast Guard.
You mean the Sharpstons boat?
Yeah. We have a reliable witness who thinks that one of the passengers, a man named John Reardon, didn't go down with it at all, that he's still alive.
You said you had my report. Those are the facts.
But you picked up three bodies. Why not the fourth? Why not Reardon's?
Well, we searched the bay for a solid week looking for his body. We used every piece of equipment at our disposal. We did everything we could.
But you didn't find him.
First you come in here complaining about our weather, now you're mad about the way we run the Coast Guard.
I'm sorry.
It's a very lousy-sounding apology. What do you want to find out?
How that boat exploded? Why you couldn't find Reardon's body if you found the others?
Now, look, if a bunch of rich jerks want to take a high-powered boat out and they don't know the first thing about high-test fuel or engine running, they're doing it at their own risk. That help?
Yes, some. I wish you could have put it on the report.
That's my ideas, buddy. The report just has the facts. Now, for the other, about finding Reardon. I don't know why. He blew up, went down, or drifted out to sea. If his body had been in the bay, we'd found it.
Was there a chance he might have survived and been rescued?
All we had left of the boat was pieces of wreckage. And if he was rescued, it was never reported, and I wouldn't know about that.
Could that have happened?
Sure. I could be an admiral tomorrow, too.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I got to Elizabeth Reardon's house.
You.
Hello, Mr. Bryan. Is Mrs. Reardon in?
No.
Then I'll wait. It's important that I see her.
I thought I made it clear to you last night I didn't want her being molested.
You did make it clear and cruel, Mr. Bryan. Now, I'm here...
Any business for her comes to me first.
I'm an insurance investigator.
I know that. She told me.
But she didn't tell you because she didn't know, and I didn't want her to know, that I'm working on a case that involves her.
What?
I have a report that her husband might still be alive.
Come in, Mr. Dollar.
I'll have to admit that Hugh Bryan's concern was as genuine as his surprise. He led me into the house and we sat at the bar. Only this time, no one had a drink. He listened while I told him about the report of Paul Coombs, that John Reardon was living in Denver under the name of Frank Bowers.
Do you think there's any truth to him?
It doesn't matter what I think, Mr. Bryan. I have to investigate it.
Yes, of course. And if he were alive, it'd be the best thing in the world.
Would it?
Of course. She's been lost without him all these years. She needs him, Mr. Dollar. She always needed him. This little bit of drinking has been going on too long. These tearful little episodes with one man or another. Oh, yes, I mistook you for one of those last night. I apologize for that sincerely.
Actually, Mr. Dollar, she's been quite a task.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe I better talk to her now.
Do you have to?
There's certain information I'd like to get. I think she's the only one who can give it to me.
You'll have to tell her about the report?
Yes.
And there's probably so much talk. Better to give her a terrible kind of hope. All right, I'll get her. No, you'd better mix one for her. She'll need it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
I need vital statistics on Reardon. Pictures, handwriting samples, everything. Could you help me gather them?
I'll do anything I can.
Well, then there's no need to bother her, is there?
You're a gentleman, Mr. Dollar.
I don't know why.
I do. You don't want to hurt her any more than I do.
An hour later, I was back in my hotel room. The next day, I had an appointment to meet Hugh Bryan and get all the material I had asked for. I was more depressed than ever about the case. About then, the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
Johnny?
Yes.
This is Elizabeth Reardon. Please. Please don't look for him.
What?
Just forget it.
Did Hugh Bryan tell you what I was about?
I overheard you two talking. Don't bother with it. John's dead and that's that. Promise me. Promise you won't do anything else.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I have to investigate it.
Johnny, is that final?
I'm sorry. I don't have any choice. Elizabeth? Elizabeth!
There'll be another exciting episode in our story of the Chesapeake fraud matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, a trip to Denver and a look at a man whose gun makes it pretty emphatic that he doesn't want to be looked at. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, this one a little bit more deliberately paced, but taking time, I think, to work on a deeper, more emotional level than, you know, obviously you're going to get in a half hour program, because on a half hour program, you basically are in a situation where, okay, we have 3 minutes for him to meet her and then get on the plane, get out to Denver. This really gives them some freedom to kind of develop their story. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. Rosemary emails in, glad to have found and friended you. This one actually comes from Facebook. And she says, and thank you for Mary Sullivan, Policewoman. It's a good little show. Well, thanks so much. I definitely agree about Mary Sullivan. And I will definitely be on the lookout for other great programs in that series. It's definitely too bad we only have one. Then we received a comment on Twitter from Robert, who writes to us at Radio Detectives. I listen to your program every night. I do a pretty darn good impersonation of you Just ask, and he provides another user's handle. Well, if you do a good imitation, then I'd urge you just give us a call, 208-991-4783, and I'd love to hear it. Finally, we have this email from Diana in Cairo, Georgia, who writes, I love the show. Well, thanks for listening out there in Cairo. And I double-checked when there was a state mentioned. At first, I thought it was Cairo, Egypt. And then I researched, and it turns out that in Georgia, they have not only Cairo, they also have Rome, Athens, and Scotland. So you can kind of take your next European vacation in Georgia. Anyway, thanks so much to all our listeners for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the adventures of Frank Race, and the Chesapeake fraud matter continues on Wednesday. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.